It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. Let me first say to you, I'm going to be interviewing President Biden at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Wow.
And we're going to record it. But I also have to tell you, I've got a bank of calls, and as I've had all morning, because I've decided that listening to the conversations that are being had nationally inside of the Democratic Party as it relates to whether or not there should be a discussion on whether or not President Biden should continue or whether or not people should say anything. And I'll tell you that I am receiving, you know, conversations and emails like, we don't have time to screw around with this. All you're doing is filling the airways with blank, blankety, blank, blank. These are from Democrats who feel like there should not be a discussion whatsoever, and that Democrats need to dummy up. And if you say anything in opposition, or if someone says that there should be a discussion at all about President Biden, there are people who clearly are on the side who think that this discussion should not be had. You are a person who's been engaged politically, known nationally, and had these discussions. Is it counterproductive for Democrats to have a discussion on whether or not President Biden is up to the task of four more years? Is that anti, you know, defeating Donald Trump in your eyes?
No, it can't be. Whenever people should reflect, whenever someone's position is a discussion shouldn't happen at all, that's a warning sign. This is part of democracy. The Democratic Broad Popular Front Coalition for Democracy is broad and diverse. It's different than the Republican Coalition, which is more lockstep behind Donald Trump no matter what he does. And I've heard some Democratic pundits disturbingly say that we should be more like them. I disagree. And it depends what, right? I mean, I think it's better just to have the discussion than to try to suppress the discussion, okay? And it's not just a few people calling talk shows or getting on social media. I mean, my goodness, the New York Times editorial page has been on fire about this since Friday, including the whole editorial board. So if you want more, you know, elite kind of verification that this is an issue, and I'm speaking on my own behalf, Citizen Action Wisconsin Democratic Organization. I'm our executive director, but we've not taken a position on this certainly or had an internal discussion, right, with our leadership. But I will just say personally, as someone who went to college on debate scholarship and coached college debate, and also studied when I was an academic, the modern presidency, which has become a rhetorical presidency. In other words, the president's power is largely his or her ability to persuade, to use the bully pulpit, not just in campaigns, but to pass their legislation. And Thursday night was not like a poor performance. Thursday night was shocking. And there's ageism involved in this. I am not saying, like too many people are saying, that that President Biden is mentally addled in any way. In fact, that's the shame of it. There's a very good chance that this is a communication issue as he ages, since he was a stutterer as a kid, and that he is still processing information, able to very well execute all of the administrative and executive decision-making functions of the president. I think that's quite possible, and that imagine how it feels for him not be able to express ideas that he already has. So let's get over the ageism and assumption that this means that he is mentally disabled. It does not. in any way any more than a kid who stutters on a playground. The playground bully who's like Trump thinks he's an idiot and other names. No, the kid's having a communication challenge, right? It has nothing to do with his native intelligence. And so, but here's the problem, Earl. The problem is it's a qualification for this office to be able to communicate effectively. And it's especially a qualification to be elected. And the stakes are so high. I take President Biden at his word that he is a good public servant, a decent man who wants to save democracy. Unless he can show very quickly, I know he's going to go on George Stephanopoulos and in open settings without a teleprompter and prove this was a blip very quickly, then I think that it's his obligation to step aside, despite being one of the most effective presidents in the last half century. And also it will burnish his legacy if he's willing to make that hard decision. It would be incredibly hard for him to do it against all of his moral fiber of persisting and continuing the fight. But I think it is the statesmanly thing to do unless he can quickly show it was a blip. And there are increasing reports, Earl, that this is not an anomaly. Now, he has to dispel those by showing it was an anomaly and very quickly.
Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. Your thoughts?
Okay, thank you so much. I think you're getting fallback because on January 6th, you know.
I don't mind the fallback. I can handle it. I'm okay, a big boy. But go ahead.
Okay, I know. You're a sweetheart, Earl. I think it's wonderful the president's going on. I'm talking to you. You have been great. I just want to say, though, for me, I watched the attack on January 6th, 2020. I watched the attack by our Supreme Court on our rule of law and all of the laws that they have changed and the damage they are doing now as we speak. In addition to that, I have watched the people rally around a man who doesn't care anything about our country and only cares about getting out of the hot water he's in and the awful things he's done to our country. And I watched Joe Biden, too. And having worked with disabled, having worked in the area of psych, and having did evaluations, Joe Biden was having difficulty, and you could see it on his face, of all the lies, one right after the other, after the other. I don't know anybody who's really got excellent speaking skills who could have addressed every goddamn one of those lies, one torpedoed right after the other. I don't know anybody. I don't care if you're 21, 35, 50. And that really struck me hard. I was sickened. And you know what? And I thought, oh, my God, who could have debated that guy with the lies, with the restrictions, and been effective? I don't think anybody could.
Gene, I wish I had more time, but Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Gene? Thank you.
Well, I think Gene makes a good point in that it is very hard to respond to that torrent of lies. And I've been in that situation debating some conservatives that basically just put out so many lies per sentence. You have to decide what to challenge. It is possible to take it on. In fact, Mitty Hassan, the former MSNBC host, and on his book, Win Every Argument, talks about how to handle that, and that being a particular right-wing tactic. I agree with her that that's very difficult. I think that President Biden did not respond, could have responded much more effectively. It's not by answering every single lie. It's by answering the ones and making the statements you need to make and want to make a counterpoint. When you can't finish your thoughts and can't complete a two-minute answer in any effective way, then you're essentially disarmed. And I agree with you on January 6th, and the Supreme Court immunity ruling essentially creates a constitutional monarchy. We could talk about that. That is why the president has to show that this was a blip very quickly in unstructured situations, or he does need to do the right thing here.
Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Susan, you say what to Dr. Craig? Susan? All right.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, go ahead.
There we go. Dr. Craig, I agree with you. And myself personally, I thought that Biden was a little too old for a second term. But now that we are in this mix, I think that we have to let the powers that be make that decision. But I think we as Democrats should hold strong to our beliefs. And then we will move on. Okay, I have a hard time listening to people degrade Biden because President Biden has done so much for this country. And I think that if he makes the decision to move on, then we must support him. If he makes the decision to step down, we support that decision. But it has to be the powers that be and not us, because we're not living that. What we are doing is we're experiencing the fallback from all the terrible decisions the Supreme Court has made. And as they continue to make these terrible decisions, it's affecting our Constitution and our democracy and eventually our freedom.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much. I mean, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, if are people degrading the president when they ask those questions?
They ought not. It depends how they do it. And they ought not assume this means that he is in any way mentally degraded. This is all we know about is that there is a communication challenge in certain circumstances. And there are reports that this has become much more frequent. It's not over the last year. To dispel those reports seems to show that he can communicate effectively to be an effective president. She had an unstructured situation without a big favorable crowd and a teleprompter. But to Mary's point, she's going to get what she wishes. President Biden has the nomination if he wants it. So this is very much his decision. He has lots of counsels. I think he's a good man who wants to save democracy. And I think he would hate staying in when he shouldn't and causing Donald Trump to become president. So it is going to be his decision. But if he decides to stay in, we have to elect him. So Mary is right about that. And then we do need to end this debate, because then it really is about undermining democracy if it continues after he is nominated and doesn't pull out.
All right, Dr. Craig, thank you. Guys, hang on. 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my co-host, Dr. Craig. And we'll come right back to each and every one of you and give you your opportunity. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. At that same number, it's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig of Citizen Action. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Manny and Manny Perez, who is the former secretary of what, Manny? I forgot. Manny, you're the former secretary of state for, I think, of what, in Wisconsin? Is Manny there? Okay, let's go to Mark from Sussex. Hey, good morning, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Mark. Okay, let's go to Mary. Mary, you're up. I wonder if we're having trouble with the phone lines. People are all... Let's go to Charles. Hey, Charles, how you doing?
Earl, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. Go ahead. Hey, the rest of you guys call back in. I don't know what was going on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. My question becomes, so let's say within the next week or two, Joe Biden decides to bow out of the race. Will the push be to elevate Kamala Harris? And if not, if people keep talking about Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer, what do people think will happen to the black woman's vote? And especially the edge, it feels like Kamala Harris would be pushed to the side for another white person.
Dr. Craig?
We don't know yet if Biden does decide to step aside, and there's emergency meetings with Biden and Democrat governors today in the White House. And you go to the Washington Post, New York Times website, you find constant updates on this. So there's clearly a lot in motion. But he could come out strongly for Kamala Harris and potentially secure her the nomination. I'm not saying that no one would challenge. It's an open question whether anyone would challenge that. And that is easier because of the campaign committee, because she is on the ballot, already won the nomination herself as VP and has been elected as VP. That'll depend partly on where big donors are, where polling is, where the rank and file is. But this is just one step snapshot. I would never tell anyone to take any poll as indicative of much. But the CNN poll that came out yesterday shows Kamala Harris performing better than the other possible leading candidates, such as Governors Whitmer and Newsom, and also finds her doing better among young voters and Black voters, people of color voters, actually, than President Biden, while losing some white independents, but still doing on balance better than Biden and better than the others. If that bears out, then maybe Kamala Harris is the nominee, and there's a school of thought that she has actually used her time as VP to improve dramatically in terms of her ability to connect with voters, and that is not clearly understood and will be. But I think it's too early to tell. President Biden, if he leaves it totally open and tries to make it an open brokered convention, then it's much more of a free-for-all. If he tries to make Kamala Harris his heir apparent, this is assuming he decides to leave it all, then perhaps there can be a consolidation around her quickly. I'm not sure, but it's a possibility.
You know, Dr. Craig, you're a political historian. And so the fact that having this discussion, the fact that people are uncomfortable and who say publicly that that Democrats should not be having this conversation, because what it does is it somehow is going to, you know, strengthen those who support Donald Trump. I don't understand. And does it mean, Dr. Craig, by having the discussion, people are turning their back on President Biden and not respecting the work that he's done? Is that the arena that people are in? As you stated, the New York Times and many of these other entities, Dr. Craig, have clearly are talking about this, and it's not going away.
I mean, I've been the head of our organization, Citizens National Wisconsin, for 15 years. There's going to come a time where I'm not the best leader for the organization. It does not depreciate anything I may have done over the last 15 years. I actually think this may be very influential with President Biden. People towards the end of their careers, particularly people who are famous people, start to think about what the founders called posterity, that is the audience of future generations, how you will go down in history, because that is the only way to live beyond your natural life, is to do things worthy of being remembered. And I think if President Biden persists and loses to Trump because he is unable to campaign effectively, then that will destroy his reputation in history and cover up all of his accomplishments, the most successful domestic presidency since LBJ. And if he makes this statesmanly decision, then in fact that will improve his historical reputation as a man who was a great public servant, who cared about people, who played a critical role and got a lot of accomplishments, but was willing to make the hard decision to move on when that was necessary. So I don't think it means that. I think there's some balance here. The Democratic coalition can be so fractious that we undermine ourselves, right? That can be a danger. But on the other hand, if we can have open debates about clear, serious questions, then we're acting democratically, and we need to exhibit what acting democratically and coming to joint decisions is in order to help save democracy. And I think that what the tipping point here is, if Biden had just had a subpar performance, I think that'd be more of a case. That was, from the beginning, from the answer to the inflation question, beyond the pale, that what that performance was. It was stunning and shocking to everyone. And I feel for the Democratic leaders who feel like they have to go there, get up there on television and say there's nothing to see here, because there was something to see here. I'm going to leave some possibility that it was a blip, it was the foreign travel, and that he can show it was a blip. But if he can't, I don't think he is any longer qualified to effectively run for president.
Let's bring Mark from Sussex up. Quickly, Mark, you say what?
Well, Earl, thanks again for taking my call. And as you know, I'm not a Joe Biden fan, but I think it's an honor for you to be able to interview a president. So you should be very proud of yourself. So congratulations.
Well, thank you.
The question I have regarding that is, did you have to submit the questions ahead of time to Joe Biden?
Yes.
Okay.
As any person would for any president of the United States.
Well, my point is, if you go into any press conference that he ever has had in the last year or two, he only calls on the people that he already knows the answers to those questions that are going to be asked. And that's very similar to your interview. It's going to be very similar to Stephanopoulos's interview as well. That doesn't give us any encouragement that the guy doesn't have dementia. Again, shame on Tom and some of these other callers and the media over the last 2 to 3 years.
Well, Mark, what I would say to you is, when Donald Trump was president, when George Bush was president, they did the exact same thing. They called on people who they knew had questions already that they had already vetted. That's not unusual. Dr. Craig, is that unusual?
I don't think it's ideal in this situation. I think you're right that it's not unusual. There's so many staff around presidents. In this case, I think he needs to prove he can do it unstructured because of what happened Thursday night. So you're right. This is the general practice of presidents.
All right. 844-967-2789. We'll come right to all of you. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday with Dr. Craig of Citizen Action and you. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. If you're wondering what happened to my interview with President Biden, we're going to do it at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's the window that they had, and we're going to record it, and then we'll play it back. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is here. I'm happy he's here. I've been joined by my good friend James Causey, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And before we go back to the phone lines, James, what is your thought about the conversation that there shouldn't be any public dialogue and conversation about, you know, Joe Biden, that this somehow plays into the hands of Republicans?
Well, it's the number one conversation that we all should be having right now. We saw what happened during the debate. And quite honestly, the Democrats behind the scenes are having these conversations right now. If we think that this conversation isn't being had, then we're fooling ourselves. We also heard that his family has encouraged him to stay in the race, supposedly. We don't know. But we need to be having this conversation, because this is the most important position in the world. And there's a video online, and I encourage people to look for it. It shows Biden probably like 4 or 5 years ago answering questions, and it compares him to today. And you can see the decline in his responses. And you know, a lot of people said he was sick during the debate, and he was overcoming an illness. But even then, you could just see the steep decline. That's amazing. And I love my seniors. I love my parents, but it comes a time when you have to say enough is enough. So if we think that the decline right now is significant, just imagine him 4 years from now.
Let's go to Manny. Hey, good morning to you, Manny. What did you used to do at the state level, sir? Manny? I don't know what's happened with Manny. Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what? Bob. All right. Okay. So, Tom, you're up.
First off, Donald Trump must be hating this because no one's talking about Donald Trump for the first time in 3 years. I mean, he must be hating he's not getting any attention. Second, again, where are Joe Biden's doctors? Why isn't there anybody that can confirm either yes, he's declining, or no, he's not, besides a bunch of punditry and a bunch of people? And also, why is it that the media never talked this much about Joe Biden as he was passing different, the infrastructure law, the different things that have helped our country out? And last is, maybe Joe Biden ought to step down right now from the presidency if this is such a important thing, because last week, during that debate, if everybody's saying he's not fit for office or to run again, well, then maybe he's not fit for office right now and he should step down.
Well, Tom, first off, everybody's not saying he's not fit for office, number one. Number two, the fact that people are having the discussion doesn't mean that they're anti-Joe Biden, pro-Donald Trump. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to that way of thinking?
Yeah, I want to be careful. We don't know what the situation of President Biden is. All we know is the visual manifestations of it, how he performed that debate and how he has been performing generally by a lot of reports. I think there's no cutoff date. There are some people who are able to continue much later. Anthony Fauci's in his mid-80s and doesn't seem to have lost a step, for example.
Bernie Sanders. So, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders, for example. Another great example, Earl. And so we just know this. We know that he has lost his ability to communicate effectively as a campaigner, and that is critical at this moment. And we also know that the presidency, the modern presidency, requires tremendous communication skills, and therefore it will limit him even as a president. That's all we know, but that's all we need to know. So I don't think we need to speculate about anything else. It's entirely possible that he has not mentally lost a step at all, that this is entirely a communication issue. The problem is that's disqualifying right now, unless he can show that it was an anomaly. And that means showing very quickly that he can perform in an unstructured situation. But as James Causey was saying, there are plenty of reports. Just go to any major news website for the major newspapers. There are plenty of reports that this is not an anomaly or a blip, but still, he certainly should have the opportunity to prove it. But beyond that, this is simply a practical question. The morality comes down to this. How do we prevent a possible move towards authoritarianism? How to prevent Donald Trump, with this Supreme Court, becoming president? And what is our most likely way to do that? That's the only moral issue here, not any individual, including the president.
So I will say this before I bring Brendan back. He seems to think, Brendan, that, and these are his exact words, we don't have time to screw around with this. All you're doing is filling the airways with blankety blank blank. So, Brendan, so you seem to feel that this is a discussion that should not be had. James, you just stated that the discussion is being had everywhere.
It's being had everywhere. And also, we need to consider this. It's not like Donald Trump has not had senior moments, too. I mean, he's made a lot of mistakes. And people have called that out as well. Nikki Haley has been one to speak out on this. So it's not like both candidates have stumbled quite a bit. And I think age has been a factor in that.
Go ahead, Brendan.
First, I just want to say those weren't my words. I don't curse and wouldn't curse.
No,
on
no, I didn't say you put question marks. So whatever that stood for, the other words were exactly yours. So. Yeah, those are exactly your words. Go ahead.
But I'm not talking about whether the conversation should be had. I'm talking about the fact that on a platform, and on any platform, all we're doing is just pouring fuel on this. And maybe there is a reason that people feel that way. Maybe there is, as we see our rights being just dissipated daily by Thomas and Alito and all of them. And so any negativity, any of this stuff that just comes up and fills the airways and fills the newspapers and fills this. And quite honestly, Earl, are you going to ask him about his age and a problem with his age when you interview him?
No, I'm not. And let me say this. Because you associate it with negativity, a open conversation that is being had by the Democrats themselves, you see it through a different prism than I do. I don't see it as negativity. Dr. Craig, do you see it as negativity that the conversation is being had?
It's completely eye-opening to read the coverage of what's going on among Democratic leaders, among donors, among everyone in the party. And this is what talk radio is about. It's talking about what is the big issue. This is such a big issue that it's pushed the immunity, the shocking and stunning and revolutionary immunity decision, which is a digital coup, off the front pages in favor of this. So it seems like a show like this has the opportunity to have average people weigh in, which may not be happening in the higher level discussions.
James?
I agree 100%. This is a perfect venue for having these types of discussions and getting it out there in the open. But I think people are missing the point. The point is this, the world saw what happened during the debate. I mean, and not to have a conversation, not to have a discussion around this would be irresponsible by the media.
And you're an award-winning journalist. So let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, thanks. Yeah, very quickly. If it wasn't his mental state of mind, it would just be something else. They create another, dog whistle issue. We've heard and seen nothing but grievance politics from the right wingers for decades. It would be something else. It'd be more Crooked Joe or crime boss Joe or the Biden crime family, or it'd be more. Oh, you know what? He's got kilos of cocaine in the White House. I mean, again, the lies never stop. They continuously, are thrown out, and we the people have been lopping it up. That's the real problem. If we had a media that was doing their fiduciary responsibility to report what we needed to know, instead of being influencers and shills for the corporate interests, we'd have an honest discussion. But no, it's dog whistle politics, and that's why we're not getting anything done, guys.
Hey,
because they're spinning us around in circles.
Hey, Mike, thank you for the call. James, you represent the media. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, good points that you made, but I have to say this. When you talk about influencers, yeah, there are influencers out there, and then there's also news, legitimate news organizations out there that are covering this in an unbiased way. The point being, though, that this is a top story that needs to be discussed. And people are having these discussions all over the place. It's not just with the media. It's people are having this discussion at their dinner tables and things like that. And it's going to be a hot button issue come November. So people have to make that decision on which way they want to go. And I think this is a perfect medium to start having those discussions and helping people formulate their ideas.
Bob from Waukesha. Go ahead, Bob. You're up.
Good morning, Earl. I'm a retired Teamster, and if it wouldn't be for Joe Biden, all of us retired Teamsters wouldn't have our pension back. I love Joe Biden, but when I sat down and watched that debate last Thursday, I knew from the get-go something was wrong. Now, we would be the party, the Democratic Party, would be wrong not to be having a conversation with Joe Biden, the party leaders, because nothing scares me more than Trump and his Supreme Court, what the Supreme Court has done, and then if Trump gets elected. That's scary. And God bless Joe. I think he's done a great job. But you know what? That's another thing. Maybe they should put the age restriction that once you turn 70, you're not allowed to run for president anymore. But in four more years, he's going to be 86 years old. And he for what he showed on Thursday night, I don't think that's an anomaly. I think it's going to get worse. And, you know, I if I were him, I'd want to go out on top. He had a good 4 years. Leave it at that.
Hey, Bob, well said. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to that?
I'm just really concerned about this whole episode causing a wave of ageism. I don't think that there is a cutoff date. I think that we have more people living longer, living to their 90s than ever before, and that some people are able to continue their jobs longer than others. And that what all we know here is that he has lost his ability to communicate effectively enough to be an effective presidential candidate, unless he proves otherwise in the next week or so. But I'm really concerned that this leads to kind of some blanket thing that after a certain age, people's born-on dates have expired. I think Donald Trump was pretty addled and has never understood policy when he was in his 40s and 50s. And so the 70-year-old cutoff wouldn't have helped that much with Donald Trump, though I think James Causey's right. There's probably been even further deterioration if you look at the bizarre things like confusing Nancy Pelosi and Nikki Haley, for example, in one of his speeches.
844-967-2789. My guests are James Causey, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Dr. Craig, executive director of Citizen Action. We're going to carry it on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, I've been around politics a long time, as you have, Dr. Craig. But when you get to a point where people say we shouldn't have this conversation, because it makes people feel uncomfortable. That's the time when you really need to be having the conversation. Is it safe to say that?
I think so. I think democracy is about uncomfortable conversations sometimes. Now, there are, because some of the themes callers are talking about this being wasted air and media bubbles and the like, that is happening. We do have a degraded communication environment in many ways and the loss of deliberative space. But in this case, James Causey is completely right. This is such a huge issue, and it's such a huge issue for everyone who is not, I mean, quite frankly, in the country, not just people who are Democrats or in Democratic leadership, because it matters to the Republican side that it would be malpractice not to cover this as a news organization or to discuss it. But there are a lot of pseudo issues out there that are blown up and are not, really should not be the major point of conversation. This just isn't one of them.
James?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, in going back, I wrote a column on this rematch several months ago, and I basically call this with the rematch that we didn't need to have this, because I sort of seen this coming. I understood that both men are older, much older than they were when they first did this, and the second go around wasn't going to be any better, and that's what we're seeing right now. Don't get me wrong, I don't think this is a we shouldn't be bashing Biden. I don't think this is a bashing Biden moment, but I think this is a come to light moment where these discussions probably should have been had over a year ago.
Yeah, you know, this is not a witch hunt. And so for people who think that, you know, That's what this is. For heaven's sakes, Dr. Craig and James and the listening audience, the president of the United States is the most powerful man in the world. And so shouldn't we, Dr. Craig, be as sure as we possibly can that the most powerful man in the world is healthy and has the capacity, not based on past, but based on present, ability, capabilities?
Yeah, particularly because, as I've been saying, the president is a communication position nowadays, both running for president and actually exercising power as president. What made presidents the most powerful actor in our constitutional system was that innovation of appealing over the head of Congress and the rest of the country to the whole people. And he, unless he can prove otherwise quickly, doesn't have that anymore, regardless of what his mental condition is generally. And we have to have standards. This has much higher stakes than you have the wrong aging quarterback in your NFL team and you don't make the playoffs. This is life and death for democracy. It's life and death for the planet, because we have to cut greenhouse emissions within the next 5 years in half, or we're going to have runaway climate change, which is a threat to human civilization. So there are huge consequences here. And I think President Biden is aware of that, but it must be very hard for him. I have no idea what it's like to come to this recognition. I hope enough people get through to him that he does, or they show this was a blip, but it has to be really strong proof. It can't be more of the curated, managed appearances.
And using your football analogy, I think a lot of this comes down to who's going to be the running mate, who's the backup quarterback, so to speak. We know who Biden's backup quarterback is, but who will Trump's backup quarterback be? So that's very important, especially with both men being older than previous and past presidents. So that's going to be key here, too.
Let's go to Eric from Tulsa.
Hello, good morning. Yeah, it was a great discussion. We went on for hours. And I'm not opposed to the discussion being had. It's obviously unnerving in a way. But I wonder if I would hope anyways President Biden and his team would have enough confidence to have him maybe possibly see a doctor and have a physical released. I remember when Trump did, his crazy doctor actually assuaged people's fears over what shape Trump might be in. And then secondly, I mean, Kamala Harris has got to be the only obvious choice for a replacement. Anything else would just be destructive to the Democratic Party for the foreseeable future. So I'll hang up real quick and let you guys chat about it for a few minutes. Thank you.
Let me say this. I'm a supporter of President Biden. I have supported President Biden, Dr. Craig, since I was a 20-year-old boy. And I watched President Biden as a earth-shattering congressman who controlled the debate in the House, and a senator who has done tremendous and great things. And nobody's talked about as much as I have on these airways about what Joe Biden has done during the last 4 years and what he would have done had there not been a Christian Sinema and a, what's the other guy's name?
Joe Manchin.
Who stopped the impact or stunted the impact of what Joe Biden's policies have been. Joe Biden's policies are unmatched, as you stated. So that's not what this is. I support the president 100%. This conversation is being had. So for people to say you shouldn't be talking about it is I guess where, you know, I have to say that being on the airways, James, you're an editorial writer, that we can't say you can't have the conversation.
By not having this conversation, let's take that look at the other hand. By not having this conversation, what will that do? What would it cause? What is it that we don't want to have this conversation because we don't want to face reality of what we're seeing and what people are seeing on the, you know, when it, what will it do by not having this conversation? That's the question we should be asking.
Dr. Craig?
Interestingly, to headline the New York Times, Biden told an ally he's considering pulling out. That's accurate. But I think this is the conversation that's going on right now with the president and with his most confidence.
All right. Thank all of you. Thank you, Calvin, for making the show go. Really appreciate it. Are we on tomorrow? It's tomorrow, the 4th. Happy 4th of July to everybody. I'll be back on Friday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.